Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called My Three Witches, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Colin and Caroline and their family in Belmont, California, John and his family in Dallas, Texas, Saya and her family in East Lyme, Connecticut, Mira and Warren and their family in San Francisco, California, Melak and Emmanuel in Toronto, Canada, Aurora and Aiden and their family in Issaquah, Washington, and Dallin, Eli, and Ava and their family in Texas. Thank you so much, Ava, Eli, Dallin, Aiden, Aurora, Emmanuel, Melak, Warren, Mira, Saya, John, Caroline, and Colin. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Home is the most comforting word there is. That's why they say there's no place like it. The unmistakable feeling of home is what inspired founder and CEO Ariel Kay to create Parachute. To responsibly make essential, lasting items that transform a house into so much more. Parachute makes home essentials that are designed in Los Angeles and responsibly manufactured by expert craftspeople around the globe, using only the highest quality materials. They make bedding, bath linens, a mattress, rugs, curtains, baby items, throws, pillows, robes, and all things soft and wonderful. My new Percal sheets from Parachute are especially soft and wonderful, and apparently they're just gonna keep getting softer and better as I wash them, which is pretty cool. They're made of 100% Egyptian cotton for ultimate comfort, and they are light and crisp and exactly the perfect sheets for muggy summer nights like the ones we've been having here in Massachusetts. And Parachute's selection of baby bedding, blankets, and bibs is so cute. They'll make the perfect gifts for my friends that are having kids. Visit parachutehome.com/stories for free shipping and returns on Parachute's very comfortable home essentials. That's parachutehome.com/stories for free shipping and returns on soft sheets, cozy loungewear, and all things comfy.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. My Three Witches. Once upon a time, in a squat stone cottage on the edge of an enchanted forest, there lived three witches. The trio looked so much alike that the nearby village thought they must be sisters, but that wasn't so. The truth is, if witches lived long enough, through their magic and their brewing and their general style of hygiene, they all ended up looking more or less the same. Which is to say, they looked like handsomely dressed old women, with wisdom in their smiles and danger in their cackling eyes. They were old and as witchy as you would like, with warts and tatty hair and flowing robes of twilight black. They even had the pointy hats, but those were only for special occasions. The witches' names were Brunfelja, Solandra, and Fabiana, but everyone in the village just called them the witches and left it at that. Of course, the village claimed to not like having the witches so close, but words and actions are often very different things. The witches found that every week, someone would slip off to their cottage in the dead of night, begging the trio for a love potion or a magic wand or a cure for mudroot. They'd happily sell them some things and refuse them others, but it helped them maintain an uneasy truce. The witches were happy to spend most of their time studying the magics of the enchanted forest, and everyone in the village was happy to spend most of their time ignoring them. Everyone, that is, except for Beanie. Beanie had grown up in the village as an orphan. She never knew her parents and was raised on stories of magic and monsters and dragons and witches, and the stories about witches had always been her favorite. For as long as she could remember, she dressed up in old curtains and stirred flowers in a big bucket she called her cauldron. The adults took notice and warned her to stay away from the witches and the enchanted forest, but she didn't listen. As soon as she was old enough to slip away on her own, which was still probably too young, she made her way through the forest and to the witches. In their squat stone cottage, Brunfelja, Salandra, and Fabiana were stirring a cauldron of their own. Inside the big pot, the potion was beginning to glow, shining brighter red with every scrap and rhyme.
Eye of Newt to make it bubble.
Graveyard worms for dirty double.
Twilight tea for toothy trouble.
And a sack of haunted rubble! Beanie shouted, appearing from nowhere and throwing a bag of crud into the bubbling cauldron. The potion turned from a rosy red to a putrid purple that exploded out of the pot.
What have you done?
Shrieked Brunfelja. I'm helping. I'm a witch too.
That's bricks, said Salandra. You poured bricks in our stew.
Haunted bricks, said Beanie in a spooky voice.
Out. Go home. Now,
Fabiana said, and chased the girl from the cottage, her tinkling laughter disappearing back down the trail. That was the first day that Beanie visited the witches, but it was far from the last. Every time she could slip away from the adults in the village, she would make her way to the stone cottage on the edge of the enchanted woods. The witches always told her to leave, but Beanie knew they were just fooling around. Of course they wanted her help. She'd even given them the fun nicknames of Bruni, Soli, and Fabs, which they loved.
Hey, Bruni! Hey, Soli! What's up, Fabs? She said, dropping roughly in from the window.
You left the door locked again. Honest mistake, I'm sure. Hey, what you making?
Please, don't call us those names, said Fabs, Fabiana.
We're busy with the dark arts here, child, said Brunfelja.
Well, I can help. I want to be a witch, too. I know how to stir cauldrons and catch newts, and I've been working on my cackle.
Oh, please, please, go home.
Wait, I wasn't done.
Okay, now go, Salandra snapped, chasing Beanie back out the window.
See you soon,
the girl called, her tinkling laughter disappearing back down the trail.
Oh, finally we can work in peace, Fabiana said. They worked in silence for a minute.
Well, it was a good cackle,
Brunfelja said finally.
Whatever you say, Bruni, said Salandra,
and then they all cackled. Back at the village, Beanie was in a bit of trouble. The adults kept telling her not to visit the three witches, and she kept ignoring them. In the minds of the villagers, the witches were dangerous, unstable creatures of spats and spells. They didn't know or care that the witches were just doing research, and they certainly didn't care when Beanie said they were her best friends.
No more witches,
said Mr. Mather, the leader of the village council.
Beanie, we can't supervise you all the time. You need to promise us you'll stop consorting with those heathens.
Listen, I don't know what supervise or consorting or heathens means, so I don't agree.
Mr. Mather turned red and huffed.
It doesn't matter what they mean. Beanie, if you go back to those witches, there will be consequences.
That was a word Beanie knew. She'd heard that one plenty growing up.
Okay, Mr. Mather, she said.
But when he turned around, she stuck out her tongue and made her witchiest face. She thought Fabs would have been proud. For the next few days, the adults in the village kept an extra close watch on Beanie, and she wasn't able to slip away to the witches. Mr. Mather especially seemed to always be nearby, his gray eyes following her no matter where she went, like one of those creepy paintings.
Man,
Beanie huffed to herself as she was forced to help pull weeds in the village garden. I bet my friends are missing me so bad. Old Soli and Bruni are going to be so upset. And poor Fabs. Luckily, depending on who you ask, there was a big argument about where to build the new mill, and a fight broke out. In all the shouting and cursing and table pounding, no one could spare an eye for Beanie. With a smile, she slipped out of the village and made her way toward the witch's cottage. Brunfelja, Salandra, and Fabiana were in the yard outside, crowding over something that was glowing bright white like the full winter moon. They'd found a rare tuft of unicorn fur in the enchanted forest and were planning to use it to brew a powerful potion. They were so caught up in marveling over the fur that they didn't even notice Beanie skip up to the yard. "By my frogs and festers," said Fabiana, peering owlishly at the tuft. "It looks like magic."
"Oh, it feels like magic," said Salandra, rubbing the fur between her fingers.
"And it smells like magic," said Brunfelja, taking a deep whiff.
The trio all cackled in joy, and then they noticed that the fur was suddenly gone.
"And it tastes like magic, too,"
said Beanie, trying to talk around the wad of fur in her mouth.
"That's not for eating," shrieked Salandra.
"I'm helping." "Well, you're not," said Brunfelja. "You're really... Wait, did you just swallow that?"
"No." "Then spit it out."
"Oh, did I swallow it? Yeah, I swallowed it."
"You tiny toad," flailed Fabiana. "Do you have any idea how rare that was?"
"You putrescent pimple," shouted Salandra. "We've been hunting for months!"
"You can't just swallow other people's fur,"
bellowed Brunfelja.
"You need to go."
"I was just trying to help." "Leave and stay left," snapped Salandra.
"I can probably give it back to you, you know, tomorrow."
"Don't ever come back,"
the three witches all shrieked together. Beanie's eyes welled up with tears. Her lips began to shake, and she turned and fled into the forest, her hitching snobs disappearing back down the trail. The witches watched her go, still too angry to feel bad about it.
"Come on," said Salandra finally. "Let's just go back to the Enchanted Woods. Maybe there was some fur we missed."
Grumbling, the witches followed her into the woods. The trio didn't see Beanie the next day, or the next, or the day after that. Eventually, a whole week passed without a sign of the girl, the longest time away by far since she'd started showing up. At first, the witches were happy for the break. They found more unicorn fur and made an ever-glowing lamp that shone like moonlight. They were able to finish potions without any unwanted ingredients. No one drew little faces on all of their jars, and the cat hadn't had his tail braided in days. Finally, Brunfelja said what they were all thinking.
"You know, we may have been a little hard on Beanie."
Salandra set some lizard legs down with a sigh.
"I know. I feel so bad. It's not like we were picture-perfect kids."
"Too true," said Fabiana. "When I was her age, I made all the dogs start talking, and now one of them is mayor."
"I turned my aunt's cat into a baguette, and she had two full litters of croissants," said Salandra.
"And I poisoned an apple for a princess, accidentally ate it myself, and spent 2 years thinking I was a willow tree named Samantha."
They all looked at each other, and slow smiles dawned on their warty, wrinkly faces. "All right, then," said Fabiana. "Let's go apologize to the little brat." The witches didn't go to the village often, but they knew the way. They put on their best robes of twilight black and their pointy hats. It was a special occasion, after all, and walked into the village square just as the sun was setting. What they saw made their warts twitch with anger. There was a crowd gathered in the square, and they were shouting and jeering. Above them, in a small metal cage hanging from a beam, was Beanie. The girl looked smaller than usual, all hungry and pale. The cage had thick bars for sides and a thin floor of splintery wood.
"What's going on here?"
shouted Brunfelja.
"What are you doing to Beanie?"
said Salandra.
"Let that poor girl go."
The villagers all turned to look at the witches, anger flashing in their eyes like the torches in their hands.
"Behold, the evil witches!"
hollered Mr. Mather, leading the mob from under the cage.
"These are the ones who turned our Beanie into a demon!"
"I'm not a demon, I'm a girl," said Beanie from the cage. She had lost some weight, but not her attitude.
"And you're a lubberwort."
"Quiet, little witch," said Mr. Mather. "Everyone can see your vile magic."
The witches noticed for the first time that Beanie was glowing. Not a lot, but she definitely had a silver shimmer at the edges, like the light of the moon.
"Oh, for Salamander's sake," said Fabiana. "She just ate some unicorn hair. It'll go away in a week."
"She's a demon, a devil, a witch,"
spat Mr. Mather. He turned to glare at the witches.
"And you three, get out of here now. This doesn't concern you."
"We aren't leaving without our girl," said Fabiana, surprising everyone, especially herself.
"That's right," said Salandra, stepping forward.
"She's with us," said Brunfelja,
rolling up her ironed sleeves and displaying her wrinkly arms. A yellow shimmer seemed to sprout in her palms.
"Now move before I turn you into a toad."
The crowd broke and ran. They were fine with punishing a girl, but had no interest in tangling with three full-grown witches.
"Ha! That's right, you wimps," shouted Beanie. "Me and my friends are going to turn your butts into frogs. Ribbit, ribbit, you sots."
Only Mr. Mather still stood under the cage, a flickering torch reflecting madly on his face, stretching his too wide smile into something crazy.
"Only one thing for witches," he said. "You have to burn them."
He held up the torch to the wooden bottom of the cage. The fire crackled and leapt, and the cage started smoking. Beanie yelped in alarm.
"Oh, I don't think we'll be doing any of that," said Fabiana.
She waved her hand like she was brushing away a fly. The fire around the cage twisted and reared and turned into a bright red robin that sang as it flew away.
"Who are you?"
sputtered Mr. Mather, stumbling and falling onto his back.
"What are you?"
"I'm Brony."
"I'm Soli."
"And I'm Fabs."
"And we're witches, you mumble crust,"
shouted Beanie from the cage. "Witches," agreed Fabs. "Witches you shouldn't have crossed." The three pulled out their wands. In a flash, Beanie and Mr. Mather switched spots, her on the ground and him crammed into the too small cage.
"Come on, Beanie," said Bruni, holding out a hand. "Let's go home."
Beanie took her hand, and the three, now four witches, made their way to the squat stone cottage, their cackles disappearing back down the trail. And Beanie never went back to the village again. And a few days later, in their squat stone cottage, Bruni, Soli, Fabs, and Beanie were stirring a cauldron. Inside the big pot, the potion was beginning to glow, shining brighter red with every scrap and rhyme.
"Eye of Newt to make it bubble.
Graveyard worms for dirty double.
Twilight tea for toothy trouble.
And a pinch of posy stubble,"
Beanie shouted, appearing from between the others and throwing a handful of petals into the bubbling cauldron. The potion turned from a pearly pink to a rosy red, and the cottage, the home, at last, was full of magic. Of course, the cauldron exploded shortly thereafter, but Beanie swore she had nothing to do with it, and the witches pretended to believe her. The End. Today's story, My Three Witches, was an original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, Check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop. Follow us on Instagram at storiespodcast or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.